like you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. As we continue in our series in worship, we have covered a lot of things about worship in this topical series, unusual in that regard, and we started out with the importance, the absolute essential nature of worship in Psalm 96, and then we went and talked about private worship and family worship, and then we started talking about the parts of worship that made it biblical, because we realized in studying Scripture there can be a wrong way to worship. And so we studied the elements of worship. We've studied the pattern of worship. Last week we were in Nehemiah and studied the atmosphere of worship with a particular attention to the Word of God as it was preached and taught. And so now we continue in that same vein today. I like to ask you sometimes questions about your childhood. What did your parents do to get your attention? If you had a teacher that would get your attention, you know, it's very hard to pay attention all day long in class. What did teachers do to get your attention? As a young parent, I was taught not to use my voice loudly too often. And I knew parents who basically worked at 90 decibels all the time. But they would always say, save that loud voice. Save it. Save it. You might use it sometime. And if you use it, they'll actually look up and be startled. Save that loud voice as best you can. I know parents that clap once in a while. As a teacher, I have to clap once. It could be that. It could be, listen up. I had a good friend who was a teacher and helped us in our Christian school in Florida. And that was her phrase, listen up. And when you knew, you had to listen. But when she said, listen up, that was bigger than listen. So it was time to listen up. And then there's the people or the moms and dads who get an eye, you know, say, hey, look here, you know, look at the eyes, look at my eyes, look at my eyes. What do? To really focus and listen. It's important to learn how to do that. It's important to teach your children how to listen. Sometimes our children learn how not to listen. They learn how not to listen. They learn how to turn things off when we come at them very strongly all the time, or when we tell them things they don't understand all the time. They learn not to listen. But it is an incredible danger to learn not to listen in worship. You can't do it. It's dangerous to your soul to learn not to listen. But even as a young Christian who loved to go to church and loved to listen to sermons, I'm not sure that I really understood what it meant to listen until I heard a sermon that is the title of the sermon you've got in front of you today, and that is Rightly Receiving the Word. A Baptist pastor by the name of Al Martin from New Jersey preached a sermon. I was given his tape, and I remember listening to this sermon and never listened to another sermon the same way again. Because I realized I was just listening when I'm called to hear. In the last few weeks, we have looked at the Scriptures for examples of when people met with God. And we have asked the question, is this what we do on Sunday morning? Well, now I'm going to turn to some commands in the next few weeks. Commands about what God teaches us and tells us to do. In the context of this command in 2 Timothy, it is the Apostle Paul giving his last, so to speak, will and testament, telling Timothy, who will replace him as being a key figure, not an apostle, but a key figure among God's people as Timothy labors in the church at Ephesus, one of the most mature churches in the panoply of churches that had been founded by the Apostle Paul. And he tells Timothy what he ought to be doing. This is what you've got to do. And not only that, he'll say it earlier in 2 Timothy, teach others to do this too. I invite you to hear God's word in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. The first thing I want to say about this passage and about what we need to learn in worship is that God has called us to biblical preaching in worship. God has called us to biblical preaching in worship. Look at this charge in verse 1. I'm exhausted spiritually by reading verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and dead, and by his appearance and by his kingdom. You think Paul's going to say something important here? You think Paul is going to make a point? He's going to make a point. And he says it with every bit of command and force he can possibly say it to Timothy. He is saying, preach the word. Now, there are many words in the Bible that are translated into many of our versions by preach. I personally, if I was a translator of the New Testament, I would use a different word with every different Greek word because they are so illustrative of the multifaceted job of preachers, teachers, and members as they go out in the world. But this one is the preacher word. It is the word that ought to be translated always, preach. For this is not the word of sharing. This is not the word of teaching. This is the word of an authoritative person giving an authoritative message upon the authority of someone who told him to get it. This is what ordained people do. This is called preaching. It is, in every place where it is used in the Greek language in the New Testament and throughout the New Testament era, it is a message that is always oral. It is one to many, not one-on-one, not sharing in a corner somewhere, upon the authority of another, frequently one who is governmentally secured, that is, for instance, a king, and it is to be taken as the words of that person who sent the one coming. You will see it occasionally translated herald. It is almost like the town crier that we used to associate in ancient England, where the town crier would go into a city and say, "Hear ye, hear ye." And everybody is supposed to hear ye. Because what he is going to say, and he better get it right, he better hit it right on the button, is what an authority has just sent him to say. This is that kind of talk. We're not talking about a little chat. We're not even talking about good teaching that we might get in Sunday school from a ruling elder or for somebody else who has been assigned to teach. This is preaching. This is preaching, and this is what Paul says we must continue to do. But look at it. It's not just the word preach. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. It is the content of what we are supposed to preach. In many churches today, and I have been to many churches, I must say even of churches that skirt upon our denomination and others that are part of conservative evangelical denominations, they'll read a passage and then the preacher will just simply go off on a theme that may or may not be related to that. I have heard it in this town going to various services at different times. That is not preaching. Preaching is to explain, to apply, and to illustrate the Scripture. And what we're supposed to do with that Scripture, look in verse 2, reprove, that is, correct in some way, that is, change behavior, rebuke, that is, to not just correct, but give the right view. And exhort, that is, teach you to do something with it. In fact, even though it includes teaching, notice it says with complete patience and teaching, this is not a Bible study. This preaching is supposed to be something where it takes teaching, adds it to exhortation, not just to teach, but to move. Preaching is designed to move people. It is clearly a scriptural thing that we must do. Since we're in a topical series, I'm going to pepper you with other verses. Normally in expositional preaching, you stick with the verse, but let me pepper you with a few. If you take notes, you might write these down to look at later. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. This is Paul talking to the Colossian church. Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. What are we supposed to preach? We're supposed to preach a variety of things in the word, but always try to bring it back to Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ. And not just as an example, not just as a moral person in an immoral universe, but Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both the Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we have denounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. This is an odd form of communication. It's been out of style for as long as it's been in style. I remember reading Dallimore's classic history of and biography of George Whitefield. When he came onto the scene in the middle of the 18th century, in the 1700s, he came onto the scene and it was lamented that preaching was now out of style. It was no longer the part of what the modern church should do. There should be chats, should be talks, there should be small groups. 1735 is out of style. But it's not out of style in the scripture. It's supposed to be what we are supposed to do. It's public preaching and even in public worship, in the synagogue worship, which was to some degree what Christian worship was very much like. There was always an exhortation based on the scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, it says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Christian churches have always read the scripture. Now, in modern audiences, some people would say, well, wait a minute. We have our own Bibles. We can read now. We can read. But God has commanded us to read in scripture. And so we read a good portion in scripture. We read, and some of you check off at that time. Some of you just decide not to listen anymore. Don't do it. If God has called us to do it, it must be for your good. Even simply the reading of scripture. But even more than that, it must be exhorted. It must be preached. And there's a style of preaching that's mentioned in scripture. Is it loud preaching? Is it happy preaching? Is it funny preaching? No. There really is only one style mentioned in the New Testament for preaching, and that is clearly. To preach clearly. Now, if you check your Westminster directory, there's got eight things you got to do when you're preaching. We won't cover them. There are more preachees than there are preachers in the room today. But it should be clear. Colossians 4, 3. Did you notice it when I read it? And pray that I might make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. You see, this is what we ought to do. We ought to preach. David Martin Lloyd-Jones, who I believe was the greatest preacher of the 20th century, said this, the primary task of the church and of the Christian minister is the preaching of the Word of God. Got to preach the Word. Now, Charles Spurgeon, somebody told me one time Charles Spurgeon had written a whole sermon, a whole lecture to his students about why not to preach long. And so I pointed that out a few times, by the way. And then I was able to find Spurgeon's accompanying sermon to that when he says that you almost got to keep it under 50 minutes. If you just got to. Don't go long. Go under 50 minutes. Sometimes it's hard to preach the word in a very short matter of time because it's important. We got to explain it. A man that came to Christ in our ministry in Florida had a little ditty that he used to say. One time I went a little long with my sermon, and about the same as I say to you. And he came up with this little ditty. I don't know if he came up with it. I'm sure he heard it somewhere. He said, "Sermonettes are for Christianettes, preached by preacherettes. Preach the word." That's an encouragement we need. You see, I believe historically, preaching is the key to evangelism. We've had people come into this building and tell us that preaching is outmoded for the evangelization of the world. That we need to do small groups and one-on-one, and certainly we do. But that's not the way the Scripture teaches us. The book of Acts, where God exploded the Word of God into the world, is just simply a series of one sermon after another. Preaching, preaching, preaching. Does that mean you don't need to go share the gospel with your friend? Does that mean you don't need to be trained in the gospel? We're going to talk about that tonight. Of course you should be. But you got to hear the preaching of God's word. Let me just tell you this. You will never grow unless you learn how to listen to preaching. You will never grow unless you learn to listen to preaching. God calls us to biblical preaching in his worship. Secondly, the congregation doesn't always listen. Did you know that? The congregation doesn't always listen. You probably know that's true, and you don't even see it from my side. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us a little about that. Look back in 2 Timothy 4. He says, "For," verse 3, "the time is coming when people will not endure." I like that phrase, endure. "Endure sound teaching. Preach it now, because it won't be long. We'll be entering into a window of time where people won't get it. They don't like it. And we have entered that time. We have entered that time again and again and again and again." Now, why is that? Why don't you listen? I know what you're saying. If we had a decent preacher, if he would just say things a little differently, if he would just try, oh, I don't know. He spits too much when he preaches. He goes on and on and on. Oh, I've got a lot of preacher stories, and I was tempted to tell them. I'll probably tell one. But you know, there are some things about preaching that I have studied. I have studied with the greatest scholars in the world. I have sat under four preaching professors whom I believe very few people have sat under, all four of these guys. I don't have an excuse if I can't preach. I've studied. But let me tell you, the Bible has more verses about your need of listening than about the way that I preach. Hebrews chapter 4 doesn't always listen. Verse 2, listen to this. "For the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith to those who listened." You need to come with faith. I know it's a gift of God, but you can fan the flame of faith. You can increase your faith. I read this to my session as we met on Wednesday night, because this is one of the scariest verses for a preacher in all of the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 and 32, God is talking to Ezekiel, who was a preacher of God's word and a prophet. He says this, "But as for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, 'Come and hear what the word that is comes from the Lord.' And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it." Why do real believers act that way? Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. "The desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, and they are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You see, you're in a battle right now. At this very moment, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle with maybe going to bed too late last night. You're in a battle with not eating a proper breakfast this morning. By the way, I recommend protein on Sunday morning. When I was a coach, a basketball coach, I told my kids how to eat on game days. So if a coach can tell players how to eat on game day, I can tell you how to eat. Get those eggs, get those bacon, get that milk, get that cheese, get that yogurt. You got to have protein or you're not going to hear the Word of God. That's just the way we're made. You see, you've got to listen because you're in a fight. You don't want it to be a physical fight, but it's going to be a spiritual fight. All kinds of things will come to your mind. Isn't it amazing? You ought to go to church more regularly because the devil will make you remember every single thing that you forgot when you came in this room. He will bring things in front of you that you never thought of. You did not know that you did not like Mrs. McGillicuddy's hairdo until you walked into this room. You see, you're in a fight. But you don't want to be like James chapter 1, verse 22 to 24, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. Wouldn't that be amazing? Look at that picture. Somebody who gets in front of a mirror and their hair is completely sideways. Ladies, has it ever happened to you? You've gone out into a breezy, windy day and you've walked out and your hairspray was overwhelmed. And you got one just going off in the other direction. I have seen that happen in my home before with a daughter and a wife. Wouldn't it be amazing? You get in front of the mirror and you look at it and you say, oh, look at that. Oh, let's just walk away. If I don't see it, it isn't there. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do it in preaching issue. Now, why is it? Why do people not listen? Three reasons, I think. There's an issue of deadness. You see, if you're dead spiritually, you're not hearing it. And if you don't hear, if you don't make any sense out of anything I say Sunday after Sunday, you ought to be asking yourself whether you're spiritually alive or not. Ephesians chapter 2, it says you are dead in your sins. And if you're not a Christian today, that's the reason you're not listening. It's because you're dead. There's another possible reason. There's an issue of ego. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, there's a time coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like what he says. I'm not getting enough out of it to help me change my life on Monday. He's way too dramatic. He's not dramatic enough. He's angry. He's not angry enough. I just don't like it. He makes me feel bad. He makes me feel good. I'm not supposed to care. I do. I'm not supposed to. But you've got to be careful that you just don't look for something that suits the me and you. There's another reason. There's an issue of the culture. Look at verse 4. He's talking about the culture. They'll turn from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. In his particular culture, there was a mythology that was growing up that was challenging the Word of God. We can't go into it. But the point is that there is a self-help culture. I teach students every day the Scripture. 4 days a week, I teach students the Scripture, and I am amazed. I love them, and I've got some great students, and some of them are here, and I'm not trying to talk bad about them, but I'm amazed at time to time that when we interpret Scripture together, when we read something, and I try to get what it means, it always seems to be bent back to them. The benefit for them. Something for them. When sometimes, it's just talking about God. You see, we're in a therapeutic culture. We're in a culture that wants to think about how am I getting better? What am I doing today? Well, sometimes you got to learn about God and your soul and not your felt needs. Well, what do we do? The third point, and I'll be as practical and as quick as I can be. Make an effort to receive the word rightly. Make an effort. Make an effort. A few more verses for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, put away all malice and deceit, hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. You see, that's what you need to long to do. You need to put away some of those sins before you come into this room. What about Acts 17:11, the great Bereans, when Paul went to preach there? Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. That's what we need to be, examining the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay closer, much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. And then these shattering words from Jesus. You need to hear this. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Did you get that? If you stop listening, then even what you have, in a sense, dribbles out the back door. That's frightening. So what do you do? What do you do? First of all, we believe in sovereign grace. Wait a minute, God. If I don't have a heart to hear, how can I hear? It's not my fault. Well, we believe in a sovereign God, but we also believe that there are means by which you need to grow in grace. And since I'm living in this wonderful place, this wonderful state, I'm going to give you three things starting with the letters A-L-A. A, anticipate. Anticipate. Go to bed on Saturday night. I always got questions when I lived in Mississippi. How come my curfew was for my children was 2.5 hours earlier on Saturday night than it was on Friday night? Friday night, I'm going to say it, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Friday night is the Christian's night to howl. You know what the Scots called Saturday night? Preparation evening. Be careful. Go to bed. Watch your attitude. Have an attitude toward the Word of God. I don't like this series. I don't like what he's talking about. I don't know. I'll go, honey. If I don't. Oh, be careful. That DRA, that dirty rotten attitude, can come any particular Sunday. Just be careful. It'll wipe you out. I mean, I might be in a bad series. I might be preaching a bad sermon. But folks, you're still responsible for what I say. Anticipate. Do physical things. Eat breakfast, like I said. Can I be crass? Go to the restroom. Eat. Look in the mirror before you walk in. Sit closer if sitting in the back bothers you. Anticipate. I can remember Big Jim Howard in Florida. Big Jim Howard, I've told you a long time before him, 325-pound, 50-year-old hippie. Didn't own a pair of socks. Just barely owned a shirt. No ties. Not for Big Jim. But Big Jim, there'd be people in the beginning of the service kind of, yeah. And then Big Jim would come thundering down the middle of the aisle, look around with a slight disdain, drop into his seat. And when Jim sat in a pew, the other side popped up a little bit. And Big Jim put his hands together and put his head down. And he began to pray. And it was like a ripple. People around him started to pray too. Anticipate. L, listen. Listen. Clear out your mind. Fight a mental battle. Pay attention. You've got to try to pay attention. Do you know that Satan does not matter whether you are thinking about the Sunday school class that you're going to teach after church or whether you're thinking about the murder that you're going to do on Tuesday? The devil doesn't care which one you think about as long as you're not thinking about this. Be careful. Be careful. Get your eye gate involved. I know I'm hard to look at. I've heard that before. But look, and if I am really hard to look at, get behind one of these glorious poles, you know? Use your eye gate. Bring your scripture. Look at the Bible. Take notes if you have to. Even use your voice. If you are the kind of person who talks and listens back verbally with others, it's okay to say amen. It is. I know there was a great Dutch church that I was aware of one time. The preacher was preaching and a new guy came in and he said, amen. And the preacher stood off to the pulpit and he says, we don't amen here. Well, I'd say we don't much here. But it's okay. Or you can do the Presbyterian amen.
Amen.
Our larger catechism tells you what to do. Larger catechism, what's required of those who hear the word preached? It's required of those who hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate, confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. You see, you need to listen. And the last A, A-L-A, apply. Be the Bereans. Search it. Talk about it. My family, we would always, humbling thing to do when you're the preacher. When your family gets home, you get the four kids around the table and we review the sermon. That is a humbling thing. What's the first point? Silence. What was the introduction? What was the passage? Silence. Didn't happen very often. They knew the test was coming at lunch every day. As it should. Talk about it. Hey, roast the preacher. I don't care. Just talk about it. Talk about it. Meditate on it. You're saying, preacher, we ought to be professional listeners. That's what it sounds like. Yes! I don't care whether you listen to the news on TV or not. Don't listen. I don't. I don't care if you don't listen to the sports. It doesn't matter. But you better listen to preaching. You got to listen to the preaching of God's Word. I know it's me. I know. I told you I would tell you a great story. I don't know if it's great or not, but I heard a story about a man who was preaching in the down and out part of town. And he was down at the mission. We used to call it the mountain mission back home. But it was a mission downtown. And a fella came and gathered a crowd downtown. And there were people, drug addicts and drunks and people who hadn't seen a good meal. They were going to get one, so they all came in, disheveled looking bunch of people. And the preacher gives forth his sermon and walks out. And one of the down and outers looks at the other and says, except for the grace of God, go I. I know we're not the most admirable bunch at all. But you got to listen. What about you today? I know you're here, but are you listening? I mentioned earlier that it's a spiritual issue for some of us, and it is. It's a spiritual issue because some of us are still spiritually dead. You couldn't go over at lunch what you heard because you just don't listen at all. You're just here. Maybe it's because you don't have a heart to listen with. Maybe because you're not a believer in Christ. Have you asked that question of yourself? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I've been preaching a very practical sermon today. But the practical sermon in the heart of it is this. Christ and Him crucified. I'm offering you salvation today. I'm offering you an opportunity to live forever. I'm offering you an opportunity to be forgiven of your sins. I'm telling you that when Jesus lives in your heart, you're all new. The Holy Spirit can help you listen. The Holy Spirit will give you ears to hear, and you will be satisfied in the midst of even difficulty, and you will go to heaven when you die. Who could pass that up? Oh, if you're dead, I pray that the Spirit begins to awaken you to hear those words today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Ask Him to save you. But for Christians, some of you, have gotten in the habit of not listening very much. Oh, that's nice. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I wonder what the travelers have for snacks today. wonder what we're going to eat today. Maybe right before the service you said, well, what are we going to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't know. Oh, no, don't start that. I don't know how to say this without making myself look better than I am, but you're just going to have to trust me. But the voice of Jesus Christ is heard in preaching, even sometimes, maybe frequently, when the preaching is not all that good. When the Word of God is brought before you, you are not just listening to the old skinny man in front. You are listening through him to the very words of God. The Reformed faith, the Presbyterian heritage, has always believed, using, I'll trace it for some of you who are interested, from a passage in Romans 10:14, but in other places, that the very voice of Christ, how will they hear him without a preacher? The second Helvetic Confession of Faith, written in 1566, you think that'll go back far enough for us to be historic, says this: the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. Wherefore, when this Word of God is now preached in the church by preachers lawfully called, we believe the very Word of God is proclaimed and received by the faithful. That neither any other Word of God is to be invented, nor is to be expected from heaven. And that now the word itself which is preached is to be regarded, not the minister that preaches, for even if he be evil and a sinner, nevertheless the word of God remains still true and good. This is not revelation. I'm not Isaiah or Paul, but the word of God comes through in biblical preaching. Do you want to grow? Well, Pastor, you're not being practical today. Okay, you want to cope with your wife? You want to deal with your boss? You want to be able to cope with disappointment and sadness? You want to be able to fight against anger? Do you want to be more satisfied in life? I believe God has called to us to preach. And you will not only find Jesus, you will find what Jesus says on a variety of things. Even when you're in the midst of the preaching of God's Word that's got nothing to do with your particular problem. When you are lifted, when you grow, you become a better husband, you become a better wife, you become a better employee, you become a better citizen, you become a better student, you become a more godly person. And when you're fighting against a particular sin, it is even possible that sin might not plague you so much once you start focusing on growing through the preaching of God's Word. Profound passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. God speaks, he says this: all these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look: he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. May it be. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we ask you that we might tremble at your word. Preached, read, taught. But Father, let us not just take our listening for granted. Help us to truly be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.